Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
Today, I'm going to be talking about intentional relationships. Tell your neighbor, oh boy, this message is definitely for you. Today, we are intentional about many aspects of our lives. Think about this. We set up college funds for our children before they actually begin teething. Some of us spend hours choosing what to wear on a daily basis. We stand in front of the mirror, we walk away, we come back. We spend time, we're intentional about what we wear. Some of us even research neighborhoods for months before we actually purchase a property there. We even have put considerable thought, how many of you like this? Listen to this. Considerable thought into the shopping list before we make it to the store. Anybody here like that? That you are like, you put everything on your little list. You consider it about every little thing. So we are intentional. But unfortunately, when it comes to relationships, we live in a culture that lacks a certain amount of intentionality. Stay with me. Relationships often seem to be just like, oh, it happened. That relationship, I don't know, it just happened. How many of you are, right? Think about that. It just happened. In many of our seasons of life, we simply gravitate towards whoever is already around us. And we have this thing called happenstance. It just happened. Friendships are described mostly as it just happened. It wasn't intentional, it just happened. And what happens is when we live with that type of attitude in life, it just happened. A lot of our relationships are not intentional, so they end up destroying our lives as we end up also destroying other people's lives. The dictionary defines intentional as done on purpose. If you're my son Liam, you'll say done by purpose, right? He didn't say done on purpose, he says done by purpose. So done on purpose is deliberate. This meaning plays a role with an intentional relationship. It involves being active instead of passive. It making things happen instead of waiting them happen to you. I'll stop right there because I already preached to a lot of people. Listen to that, church. Making things happen instead of waiting for them to happen for you or to you. This type of relationship means of not giving up when things get tough. Not giving up when things get tough. How many of you, just based on listening to that, need to make some adjustments on your relationships? Anybody here? Okay. I see a couple hands lifted up. In the Bible, we see that every relationship was intentional. Why? Because our God is intentional. He does everything with purpose and in purpose. He does everything with a purpose. Now, for this reason, the kingdom of God is led by men and women of purpose with godly purpose. Listen to this. If we're not living intentionally in our relationships, we're basically just wasting our time. We're basically wasting our time. I love when I read about people in the Bible, especially like Enoch. We don't read much about Enoch, but there's something powerful about Enoch in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 23, it says, altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Now, if you think you is old, think about that. 365 years. But I love the next verse that says, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Basically, he didn't see death. God took him with him. He walked faithfully with God, intentional with God, and God took him. There's only been a couple few people in the Bible that are mentioned that God took him. One of them being Enoch, the other one being Elijah. God took him. They didn't see death. Powerful things. Intentionality in our relationships. Talk about being intentional with God when God just takes you. Throughout Scripture, we see relationships are the foundation of the Bible. Not just any relationships like the ones that we have become used to, but not also the relationships that we say, oh, it just happened, but relationships that are cultivated, that are intentional, that you actually take the time to work on, not just see what you can get from, how you could pass through, what can they give you, but in reality, how can you be a blessing to that person? Intentional relationships. There are many types of relationship in the Bible. I wrote a couple down here. For example, there are seasonal relationships. How many of you might be facing right now? Don't raise your hand, but you might be facing a seasonal relationship. That the season is coming to an end with that person. There are people that you just need to let go of. They were there for a season. God used you and God used them in your life for a season. And now it's time for you to move on. There are seasonal people. For example, David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan were best friends. But their season ended. Doesn't mean that David forgot about Jonathan. But the moment came that they needed to pass on. They moved on. Unfortunately, Jonathan was murdered, right? There are other relationships that you need to stop crying over. Listen to this. You need to stop crying over. There are relationships that possibly God has taken out of your life. People that God has removed because there was no more purpose with them in your life. And you need to stop crying over them. This being Saul in David's life. When God took away Saul, when Saul was removed from David's life, what did David do? He mourned for David. And it says, the Bible says that he mourned so much that the prophet came and said, "How much more would you mourn for one I have removed?" Sadly, we hinder our walk with God because we're crying over people that God has purposely removed from our life. There are other relationships that are permanent. For example, Enoch. God took him. There are other relationships that God has called you for greater things, greater purposes. God might use you in a relationship like that or might put someone in your life like that. For example, Jesus, when he called his disciples and said, "Follow me," he called them into greater things. And then there are other relationships that are intentional, even though you might think that they're sent from the enemy. Listen to this. Judas had an intentional relationship with Jesus. Or better yet, Jesus had an intentional relationship with Judas. Knowing that he will betray him, he still washed his feet. Knowing that he would turn him over and was filled with the devil, he still loved Judas like the rest of his other disciples. There was intentionality there. It was not by purpose. There are Judases in your life today that God has a purpose with them in your life as he has a purpose with you in their lives. Relationship is not a one-way street. It's a two-way road. You can't meet someone. You can't just go to the end. You have to meet people in the middle. There's a purpose in relationships. Jesus was intentional in all his relationships. Even when he chose his disciples. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19 says, "Come, follow me." But it doesn't just stay there. Jesus said, "And I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. See, he just didn't say, "Follow me just because it feels good. Follow me because it's the thing that everybody else is doing. Follow me because, you know what, it might help you in the long end." No, follow me because I have a purpose with your life. If today you are in church or today you're watching online, there is a purpose with your life. God doesn't call you out of the darkness into the light just so you can wear some pretty clothes and call yourself a Christian. He calls you out of the darkness into the light so you can live a purpose-driven life, so you can live intentionally. So if we're going to live intentional, then we need to have intentional relationships. Intentional relationships. In today's society, we have forgotten the importance of intentionality in our relationships. The reason why many of us are living below our potential, listen, church, the reason why we're living below our potential is not because we can't overcome, it's because of the relationships we have in our lives. If we ask anyone that has some type of wisdom, they will tell you this phrase: "Tell me, show me who you hang with, and I will tell you who you will be." Have you ever heard that? Dime con quién anda y te diré quién serás. Have you ever heard that? Let me show you it in Spanish because probably it sounds more familiar in Spanish. Tell me who you hang with, and I'll tell you who you're going to be. Intentional relationships. Not only do we have to be intentional in our living, but we have to be intentional in our relationships. Associations are powerful. Imagine how much more our relationships, and even more when they are intentional. I'm just not going to have a friend because I feel lonely. I'm going to have a friend because I'm going to have the right friend. They cannot fill me or fill a void in me. I need to first fill that void with Jesus so that I could help them find Jesus. There's intentionality. I'm not just going to hang with those people because they look cool or they have things that I covet. No, I'm going to first fix myself so that I could be a blessing to them. There's intentionality. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's as much as what God can use me in the relationship. Eventually, you're going to get something out of it because God will bless you. It's a two-way road. It's not a one-way direction. But before I continue speaking, I felt this in my heart. Before I continue speaking about relationships, which many of you might think relationships are only about friendships, co-workers, or even church people. Relationships, to me, the most important relationship after your relationship with God is your family. Now, I might have touched a wound right now when I said that. But listen, I believe that the most important relationship after Jesus is your family. We just celebrated Thanksgiving here in the United States. And I know Christmas is a couple days away. And you know what I noticed the other day when I was at the store? We went to the store the other day on Black Friday, and I noticed something. Instead of this being the happiest time of the year, instead of it being the most joyful season of the year, especially in 2020, come on now, right? After all we faced in 2020, like we're getting rid of 2020, everybody should be excited. It's actually, for some, the most depressing and despairing time of the year. For many reasons. Probably they lost a loved one during this time. Or years ago during this season. And the remembrance of not being with them, it's a sad moment. Probably there's lack of forgiveness. There's issues of the heart that they're dealing with. And when they see families together and loved ones gather, or they have no other choice than to go to someone's house, right, where their loved ones are there, and they kind of like, you know, come across that individual, that lack of forgiveness doesn't allow them to celebrate what we celebrate during Christmas. There might be broken homes. Might be so many reasons. Friend, we must learn to be intentional in our family first, before we can ever be intentional, listen to this, with a stranger we later call friend. I need to repeat that for some people here today. We must learn to be intentional in our family first before we can be intentional with a stranger we will later call friend. Although we live in a society that friendship for many just happens, it just happened, man. It's like we got along. We met at the store. We met at the coffee shop. We met at a party. We just kicked it off. It just happened. And I'm not saying that there's not relationships that happen just like that. There are relationships that you kick it off. It just happened. Let me tell you something. Even though that happens in friendships, family just doesn't happen. Family just doesn't happen. Can I get an amen? Family just doesn't happen. You need to work on it. The most painful relationships you will have in your life are called family. But the most rewarding you will ever have in your life are called family. Yet the most under-evaluated, under-depreciated, the ones that we don't think about the most, the ones we care less about, is called family. And God is calling the church today to return to being the family. I always say this: you can choose your friends, you could choose your spouse, but you can't choose your family. And there's a reason for that. God chose them for you. Why didn't he choose a better dad? Why didn't he choose a better mom? Why didn't he definitely choose better siblings? Well, why don't you change first so you can see how good they are? Why don't you allow God to show you the wrong in you and let God change you so you can see all the good in them? Why don't you allow forgiveness to flow through you even though you think that you didn't do the wrong, and ask for forgiveness so that God could heal and reunite your family? Why don't you take the first step in reaching out and saying, I love you, even though that person has never told you, I love you in the rest forever in their lives. You can never expect something from someone that you yourself have never done for them. You can never expect change in someone else's life if you don't want to change first in your life. We live in the just happened society, just happened culture, and we think that family is just going to happen. Let me tell you something. Time does not heal. Healing happens in time. It just doesn't happen. Oh, 10 years from now, I'll be healed. Or 20 years from now, I'll get over it. No, you need to get over it now. You need to start taking the first step to closing that wound. You need to start allowing the Holy Spirit to start working in your life so that God will reunite your family. So God will reunite those that he has called you to be part of your family. This should not be a depressing or despairing time, but it should be an opportunity to end 2020 right. First, by getting back on track and being intentional with your family. There are people here or online that need to return to being intentional with their family. I have things I need to work on my family too. You got to be intentional. Oh, but so-and-so has not called me in a long time. Well, when was the last time you reached out to so-and-so? Oh, but so-and-so didn't tell me happy birthday. They don't love me anymore. Really? You're going to base your relationship on someone that forgot your birthday? Come on now. How old are you? Are you 4? Think about that. We live and we're like snowflakes. We melt easily. We're walking on eggshells many times. And relationships, the family should be the strongest unit on the face of the earth. Why? Because it is established by God. Don't let anyone destroy your family. Don't let the opinions of others destroy your family. Do not let social media destroy your family. Oh, but did you see their post? Scroll up. I told somebody the other day, don't worry. Just scroll up. Scroll up. You don't like it? Unfriend them. But don't let anything nor anyone used by the enemy affect your family. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, when I say friends, I believe Jesus meant everyone, not just your coworkers or your friends at school or your longtime friends from college. I mean, he meant everyone. Relationships are important to God. If not, he would have not created us, nor would he have given his only son for our redemption. God is intentional from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. He's intentional from the beginning to the end. That's why he's called the Alpha and the Omega. The same way we have to be intentional in our relationships and we have to be intentional in our family, we also have to be intentional in the body of Christ. I must have strung a chord to someone's heart today. I want to share with you, I put this in my notes. In my years of life, I have seen many people come as much as I've seen them go. Some of which I've had to do like David, stop mourning for Saul. I've had to stop crying for them. And the Holy Spirit has had to tell me, how much would you mourn for them? Stop it. The reason why you hurt is because you want to hurt. Listen, church. The reason why many times we hurt in relationships is for the simple reason that we want to keep on pondering and thinking about that one thing. Oh, but so many years ago you said this word to me, or you didn't look at me, or you didn't say hi to me when I was walking by church. You just turned your face. For real? You're going to allow that to hinder your progress in your walk with God because someone did not look at you at church, or someone didn't say hi to you at the door, or someone probably made a joke and you thought that, oh my God, they're against your life. Come on now. Life is too short. And you have too much purpose and too much divine given gifting within you to allow that to hinder your walk with God. Stop mourning for the souls. And as a pastor, let me tell you something. I've seen many people come and go in ministry. When I was a young pastor, a youth pastor, to now that I'm leading this amazing church. And unfortunately, many more will come and many more will go. But one thing I've learned, and I hope you learned this today, I, Eric Abreu, cannot be like the rest. You, whatever your name is, put it there, cannot be like the rest. You need to learn to love those that hate you. You need to learn to love those that will speak behind your back. You need to learn to love those that today they praise you and tomorrow they scream, crucify him. You need to learn to love those that today they are here and tomorrow they will see you in the street and act like they never know you. You need to learn to love those that you gave yourself intentionally for years and tomorrow they forgot. Why do I share this with you? For the simple reason that Christ was the perfect example of anything and everything that you and I will ever face in our relationships, yet he remained true to himself and what he said. He remained true to himself and what he said. He was intentional in everything he did. I'll sum it up with this one verse, Luke chapter 19, 10. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He was intentional in his coming. He was intentional in his ministry. He was intentional in his relationships. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40, one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And you would think that Jesus would stop there, but he didn't. Verse 39, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. You want to fulfill God's commandments? You want to be obedient to God's call? Two commandments. Everything hangs from it. Love God first and love people as you love yourself. We live in a time that the love for people doesn't exist. So if you can't love people, let me tell you something. You can't love God. Because we are created in the image and likeness of God. The Bible says you can't say you love God and hate your neighbor because you can't see God and yet you could see your neighbor. You can't. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Life is too short to live it with a just happened mentality. And then we cry when we see our relationships fall apart. I want to close this message with this thought. God will send you. Look at your neighbor and tell him God will send you. You might say, Pastor, what does that have to do with intentional relationship? It has everything to do with intentionality in your relationships. God is all about relationships. And when you are a Holy Spirit-led individual, he will bring people into your life intentionally as he will also take them out. Intentionally. He will also bring you into people's lives intentionally as he will also take you out intentionally. The question here for you and I is, will we go? Listen, will we go? Jesus said, follow me. And what did the people do? They followed. Jesus said, follow me, and they followed. I want to close this message, but I want to circle back to what I believe is the greatest relationships after a relationship with God. It's the relationship with our family. Listen. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, we see the beginning of the church, something we all need to return to. Listen to how the church was living. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. If you've known me for a long time, you know that fellowship for me is super important. I don't believe in a church that doesn't have fellowship. Because if all you do is just preach and not live it out, then you're just a big brain. We have too many big brains in this world that are destroying it. We need people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Sounds like Christmas, right? But it wasn't Christmas. It was every day. It wasn't a season. It wasn't a time. It was every day. And listen how it finishes this verse. Praising God in verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Say with me, all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When you read this, you probably automatically think this is only referring to Christians or to believers. But I like what the last verse says. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. When I read this, I think of all the people that God has brought intentionally into my life and I into theirs. You see, the church should not be a clique, a group, or even a social club. The church should be an arrow pointing people to Jesus at all times from all sorts of walks, not because they have what you like or you agree with them. We should always be pointing people to Jesus no matter what their type of living is or what their background looks like. The church is not chosen or set aside to enjoy themselves, but they are commissioned by Jesus himself to go. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. Everyone who believes, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I read this article and I got this excerpt from it. It says, in their book, Discover Your Mission Now, by authors Dave and John Ferguson and Tim Sutherland, they describe 5 core action steps of missional people. They use this acronym called BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, that serves practical in our day-to-day walk in our relationships, step-by-step plan for building relationships. And in their acronym, it refers back to when God spoke to Abraham. Remember last week we spoke in Genesis when God spoke and made the covenant with Abraham? In Genesis 12:2, that God tells him, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that. I want to be blessed to bless. I just don't want to receive the blessing that I can't hold it. No, I want to receive the blessing and be a channel of blessing. And that's what God intended for each and every one of us to be in our relationships. Our relationships, when they're intentional, it means that we are blessed to bless. But they use this acronym with the word bless. And listen to this, very simple steps. B, begin with prayer for those whom we are sent. There's the word again. We are sent. Begin with prayer. When was the last time you prayed for the person next to you? When was the last time you prayed for that loved one that you haven't seen in a long time? When was the last time you were intentional when God told you to reach out to someone? You know that prompting in your heart that you're like, man, why am I thinking about this person today? Why did I wake up thinking about them? Well, that's God prompting you because God wants to send you to be a blessing to that person. There's intentionality in it. Begin with prayer. L, listen. Listen, it actually is that, something we're hard at. I mean, we're horrible at today. Listen to the people to whom we are sent. Don't chat, don't talk. Listen. Train your ear to listen. Eat with those to whom we are sent. S, serve the needs we discover among those to whom we are sent. And the last S, share our story with those to whom we are sent. The reason why we don't preach the gospel is because we make it complicated. But you know what the gospel is in a nutshell? It's your walk with Jesus. It's your transformative walk with Jesus. What God has done in your life, that's the gospel. It's good news. We're called to share that good news. Think about that acronym next time God sends you. Bless, pray, listen, eat, serve, and share. The time for cliques, social clubs, and special interests among the church has come to an end. We're called to live our intentional relationships just as God is intentional in his relationship with us. Now, I don't know about you, but that word blessed me. I don't want to just say I have a friend. I want to be intentional in my friendship. I just don't want to know that I have a family. I want to be intentional in my family. There's gifting that only you have, and that gifting is not for you, it's for the person sitting next to you. What are you doing with it? All of us are worried, oh my God, did I buy enough gifts on Black Friday? That's not the gifting that matters. That is perishable. It will be used, it will be put in a closet. It might be even regifted if the person doesn't even like it. Let's be honest. What will last forever is our intentionality in our relationships. I want to end with this thought as you stand to your feet with me. Has this happened to you? It's happened to me a couple times, actually a lot of times. Someone might come up to you and say, hey, do you remember when you told me this? And I'm like, no. Or they might say, someone once told me this, and I'm like, man, that was good. And they're like, that was you. And I'm like, I can't remember. Think about this. Somebody the other day, a couple months ago, before the pandemic started, I reached out to this person. I haven't seen this person in a long time. Sometimes when God prompts someone in my heart, I obey. I immediately reach out. Didn't even know the person had the same number. I just texted the person, hey, so-and-so, how are you? And I got a text message, hey, I'm doing good. And we started talking and back and forth through text message. And this person tells me, to know that 10 years ago, when I was in my deepest pit, God used you to help me get out. The person was going through a divorce. There was a child in the middle. I was just being intentional in my relationship. I wasn't just being there just to be there. I was being there because I believe God had a purpose in my life. When someone tells you that, it reminds you of the power of relationships. It reminds you that God doesn't need a perfect person, a perfect instrument, so that he could do something with them. All he needs for you is to be intentional, to be open for him to use you, for you to go when he sends you. If we're going to end 2020, let's end it right. There might be people that God wants to take out of your life. Ask him, God, if this is of you, then take it. And there might be people that God wants you to be in their life. And at first you're like, no, I don't want to. No, they don't share the same things as me. Or, you know, we don't see eye to eye on things. You don't have to. When there's purpose, Let the purpose fold out. Let God carry out the purpose. Let's close our eyes right there where we're at. God, in this morning, I know this is not one of those messages where people are shouting for joy and jumping up and down, because it's triggering a lot of things in our heart, a lot of evaluations, a lot of things that we need to ponder on. Many times, God, we've allowed culture and society to dictate how we should lead our relationships. And sadly, we've jumped on that bandwagon of it just happened type of mentality, God, versus being intentional in our relationships. God, help us. First, help us be intentional with our relationship with our family. If there are people that we need to reach out to, things that we need to possibly get off our chest, Lord, that have been there hindering our progress, give us the grace and the love to do so. There might be someone that you're calling us to ask for forgiveness or to forgive. God, give us the strength to do so. There might be people that you're sending us, Lord. Help us be obedient and go where you're sending us, God. It might be friends also, God, or co-workers, or even church people, God, family within the church that we haven't reached out to in a long time, or somebody looked at us the wrong way or said something, and we think that they have it against us. God, help us be intentional in our relationships, that we would not waste the precious time you've given us here, allowing hurt, pain, suffering, take our hearts. But help us be intentional, Jesus, in our walk with you and in our relationships with one another. Forgive us for not being obedient. Forgive us for giving in to many times the thoughts of what feels right, seems right, or we think is right versus what is right, God. What is truthful in your word. Help us be like Jesus, that he loved those that today were cheering him and tomorrow they were screaming, crucify him. Help us be like Jesus, that he loved his neighbor as he loved himself. Help us be like Jesus, that even loved his enemies. Help us be like Jesus every single day. In Jesus' name.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, the best is yet to come.